Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Let's hear a prophetic proclamation. Come on, let's hear it. Kingdom of Heaven in 2011. Let's hear it a little bit louder now. Come on. The Kingdom of Heaven in 2011. And anybody that was in Vision School on Friday night, if you remember, it's important that we don't just declare that word, but that we contend for that word. That we contend for that word. A couple of verses in Joshua chapter 18 just to start. It says there in verse 2 of Joshua chapter 18, there remained among the children of Israel seven tribes which had not yet received their inheritance. Then Joshua said to the children of Israel, how long will you neglect to go and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers has given you? Remember what we said last week? We are not here to compete. We're here to complete. We're not here to compete. We're here to complete. You know, if you look around you in the Isle of Lewis, you look at other churches, you think, oh, well, you know, they don't believe what we believe, and they believe less than we believe. Well, that's not something. If you believe more than they believe, that's not something that you have to compete with them with. That's something that you've been blessed with to complete them with. Because that's your brothers and sisters you're looking at. And there's no room for sibling rivalry in the church of God. Amen. In the body of Christ, there is no, in the family of God, there is no room for sibling rivalry. We're supposed to be fighting the devil, not one another. Come on. We're not here to compete, we're here to complete. Glory to God. Joshua said to the children of Israel, how long will you neglect to go? He didn't say to the seven tribes. He said to all of the children of Israel. How long will you neglect to go and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers has given you? Let me ask a simple question. Where does the scripture place the responsibility for failure to possess the land? Upon us. I mean, a lot of people, I'll tell you, according to what they say, it would appear that they think that they can operate contrary to God's word and yet still accomplish his will. And yet his word and his will are the same, they're synonymous. He reveals his will through his word. Some say, I don't know what the will of God is. Well, what does the word say? How well do you know the word? Because if you know the word, you'll know his will. I mean, even when we're singing there in that song, you know, blessed be the name of the Lord. To be honest, when it comes to these two lines about the road marked with suffering and though there be pain in the offering, I just go into tongues then. I'm not saying that suffering might not be a part of the journey. I'm not saying that, but there should never be pain in the offering. You see, in the Old Testament, every offering involved pain because it was a dead offering. But in Romans chapter 12, it says that we have to become living sacrifices. There's no more pain in the offering. So I just go into tongues then because I just don't understand why anybody could write that. So I like the rest of the song. And we already changed the take away to make away. So, hallelujah, glory to God. But you know what I'm saying? I just immediately go into tongues. I can't sing it, I'm sorry, but. But my spirit and God, the spirit of God within me knows exactly what's ahead. And he knows how to equip me and prepare me. And he said, if you build yourself, if you pray in the spirit, you'll build yourself up so you'll be strong and equipped and ready to meet anything that comes. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on, that's not scouse, that's tongues. Hallelujah. I don't know why he didn't bring the Glasgow Gospels anyhow. That's what I wanted. Do that next week. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So where does the responsibility lie, folks? It lies very squarely upon us. Amen. We don't want to be like these folks who seem to think that you can just wander through life any way that you like and ignore what God's word says and still expect to walk in his will. Lay your lives down as living sacrifices. Then he said, then you shall prove what is the good and the acceptable and the perfect will of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Not conform to this world, but being transformed by the renewing of your mind. Because what you say is always a result of what you've been thinking. Amen. Your thoughts always become your words. Your words become your actions. Your actions become your habits. Your habits becomes your character. And your character ultimately will determine your destiny. Whether you hit or miss. Whether you make it or whether you don't. Glory to God. So, but before we move on, I was just going to say, you know, we don't want to suffer from that same delusion, that same deception. We don't want to fall prey to the same spirit of unbelief. And so it's time, I believe, for us to study the methodology of the kingdom. Because what we got, the kingdom of heaven in 2011. Are you believing for that? Glory to God. So I think, first of all, we need to familiarize ourselves with God's original plan for the earth. Why do we need to go back to his original plan? Because he never changes his plan. Doesn't matter how many generations of people fail to enter into the fullness of his plan, he doesn't deviate from it. He doesn't alter it. He doesn't compromise it. He doesn't change it in order for it to fit us. He just waits for a people who walk in the fullness of everything that he has made available to us and made possible for us. Amen. So, glory to God. In the beginning, the scripture says, you see, who knows that God always believes in his ability to save? He knows and he believes in his ability to clothe someone, the most wicked, ugly, horrible, disgusting sinner that ever lived, with his righteousness. And he believes that'll work for him. He believes that. He believes in his ability and his power to heal. He believes, come on, I said to people before, I said, if I pray for you, I'm only doing what the Word of God tells me to do. I've got no power to heal you, but the Word of God says, if I lay hands on the sick, they will recover. If I pray for you, healing will come to you. I don't know what you'll do with it, but it will come to you. Because my responsibility is not to try and bring the healing, but just to lay hands on you. And healing always comes. Now, a lot of people don't always receive it, but it always comes. Always comes. The power of the Lord was present to heal him, it says, but these Pharisees, these religious leaders, they did not walk in it. I read it again this morning. It says that they rejected God's will for their lives because they rejected the baptism of John. And there's many people who reject God's will because they do not believe what his word says. But God always believes in his ability to save and to heal and to deliver and to prosper, even if his people don't. He still believes. And in the beginning it says God created the heavens and the earth. Who knows that planet Earth would be a pretty insignificant blob in the universe if it hadn't been singled out by the Lord for a specific and special purpose? Come on. And Scripture tells us that the heavens, we could go to the Scripture, but I'm just racing through this to lay a foundation. But the Scripture tells us that the heavens are God's throne and that the earth is his footstool. So the earth has obviously always had a special place in God's plan. The Lord has also obviously always had a special plan for the earth, because Scripture also tells us that we worship at his footstool. See, the heavens declare the glory of God. And there's supposed to be a response from the earth to that. From the earth to that. Come on. Jesus shared a revelation not with the religious leaders, not with the high priest, not with the Pharisees or the Sadducees or any of the other religious cookies, but he shared it with a woman who was a social reject. And this is the revelation he shared with her. He said, the Father is looking for worshippers. We will worship him in spirit and in truth. God's plan for the earth is always for it to be populated by worshippers. The heavens are his throne, but the earth is his footstool. And we worship at his footstool. See, Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28, I'm not going to turn there right now, but you can go and study it for yourself. They give us some insight into the pre-human history of the earth. Give us an account of the rise and the fall of the original worship leader. Give us an explanation of why the earth was a formless, chaotic mess. That's what it says. It was void. That Hebrew word there means formless, chaotic mess, a worthless thing, a place of emptiness and desolation. Can you imagine God creating something like that? Noah had become like that. A scene of disorder and confusion. But God had a plan and a purpose for the earth that could not be thwarted. And so he spoke into that darkness and he said, let there be light. In the Hebrew it's just very simply, light be, and light was. God spoke into that darkness and he said, let there be light. And then he created a perfect place. He created a garden. He made a garden in the earth. It wasn't that large. It started out pretty small. And then he said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. And he made man and he placed him in that place of his perfect provision and protection. And then he told him to advance that garden through the earth. See, if we don't understand these things, that God has a plan, and his plan has never changed, we will never contend for this word that he has given us. Come on, let's hear it. The kingdom of heaven in 2011. And so at that point, God began the restoration of his plan to populate the earth with a worshipping people who would colonize the earth and who would influence the earth with heaven's culture. It's always been God's plan for heaven to invade the earth. The first Adam blew it, so the Lord started again with Noah. He didn't quit on it. He didn't say, that wasn't a good idea. Let's try something different. No, he started again with Noah. There was a betrayal in Noah's family that introduced a curse. So later on down at the family line, the Lord finds Abraham, because he's always looking for a worshipper. Now at that point, Abraham was a worshipper of the moon, but he was still a worshipper. And the Lord said to Abraham, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you. See, I brought you out to give you this land, to take possession of it. Genesis 12, verses 1 and 3. Remember what he says. Get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So the Lord was telling Abraham that his descendants would invade the earth with the culture of heaven, with the blessing of Almighty God. See, when heaven comes, blessing comes. And we know, we could go back, and we've spoken about some of this previously. We know the checkered history of God's old covenant people. But then, out of that line again, came the second Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ, who came, and when he came, he announced the arrival of the kingdom of heaven in the earth. He preached the good news of the kingdom. And since then, there has been a commission given to everyone who is born again into that kingdom to advance the plan of God by colonizing the earth and influencing it with kingdom culture. And it was never supposed to be about religion. It was supposed to be about the government of heaven being established in the earth. Who knows that every kingdom desires to extend its influence? I mean, you just have to go back and look at the history of this nation. The British Empire. I mean, look at the British Isles on a map. It's a tiny little. I mean, it's an island, for goodness sake. Just a tiny little part of the earth. And yet, at the highest point of the British Empire's influence in the earth, it had control and sway and government over a quarter of the population of the earth and almost a quarter of the earth's entire land area. Do you understand that? This tiny little nation. At one point it covered 13 million square miles. That's not bad for a tiny little nation like that. And who knows that much of the world still experiences the cultural influence of this nation. And a number of countries, including Australia and Canada, still have the Queen's head on their currency. What most people might not know is that in many of these countries that made up the empire, the advanced parties were actually Christian missionaries who went preaching the gospel of the kingdom. They went before the soldiers, before the civil servants, before anybody else arrived. The missionaries were there. You see, it was the same scripture spiritually from a tiny beginning in the Garden of Eden. Adam was commissioned to extend the influence of heaven across the earth. From the only son of an impotent man and a barren woman, God promised that the influence of heaven would be a blessing to all nations. That's quite something. From tiny beginnings in a Jewish backwater, the influence of heaven has spread all over the earth. And it's not over yet. That's why Scripture says, never despise the day of small beginnings. Because it's just the beginning. God's plan and purpose have never changed. So let's have a look and see how it's accomplished. We're going to go through the first few chapters of Joshua. Because as we saw the week before New Year and then the week after New Year, if you want a perfect example, and it's still held out to us as an example, Paul said that to the Corinthian church, that the God's people, after coming out of Egypt, their struggles in the wilderness, as an example to us so that we would not perish through the same unbelief. We'd not fall into the same traps that they fell into. So it's still there as an example, but there's also an example to us of how to enter in. Not just how to come out, but how to enter in. As I said before, there's many people in the body of Christ who are still aspiring to nothing more than wilderness living. That's their goal, that's their ambition, to get to a place where God does everything and they do nothing. That was never God's plan. They come out of Egypt, and then for the rest of their lives they wander around the wilderness looking to see that their shoes wouldn't wear out. And 3 meals a day. And any time it doesn't happen that way, they don't blame God. They turn to God's messenger and they blame him. Because they've never learned how to grow up and take responsibility to enter into everything that God's already provided. The fullness of what Jesus accomplished at the cross when he cried, "It is finished! It is finished!" You've got to contend for that. You've got to contend for that word. "It is finished. I believe I'm righteous. I believe I'm healed. I believe I'm delivered. I believe I'm prosperous. I believe it. I'm contending for that word in my life. Because it is finished." Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Joshua chapter 1. I might cry in a minute. Hallelujah. Not because I'm sad, because I'm happy. Because I think somebody might be getting it. "After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, 'Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you. As I said to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you?" Then you will make your way prosperous. Then you will have good success. "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." You know, this Friday night, you know, just over the last few months, last few years, in fact, we're talking about this a couple of us in Father's House the other day. We're talking about, you know, raising the dead, and someone was saying, "Well, I don't know if I have faith to pray for someone to raise the dead." I said, "You know why you don't? Because who's preaching it? Faith comes by hearing what the Word of God says." So when's the last time you heard a sermon on raising the dead? We do it now and again just to keep you in that place so that you know that you have the authority and the power to do that. But how many times have you been in church and heard a sermon on raising the dead? No wonder many of God's people have no faith for that. 99% of Christians would never even consider thinking of praying for someone who just died. When it's dead, it's over. That's what they think. That's wilderness thinking. That's wilderness living. They perished in the wilderness. They died in the wilderness. And God's plan was never for that to happen. It was for them to enter the promised land. That one of the things that we need to take back, part of the land we need to take back, is longevity. The 120 years that God promised you, you need to start taking that back. A lot of people that are praying for revival right now are praying for nothing more than wilderness living. They want to have meetings every night where they can all go charismatic hoo-ha. Come on. And I would say this, but that is totally unsustainable. You might manage that for 3 weeks or 4 weeks or 5 weeks or maybe even 6 months, but then it'll have to die because that's not God's plan. It'll die in the wilderness. Because it's nothing more than wilderness living. It's God coming, showing up, showing His glory, showing His ability to keep you. But that's not where you're supposed to be. You're supposed to take that knowledge, you're supposed to take that experience and move into the promised land and begin to take responsibility for taking something back that the enemy has been inhabiting for far too long. Far too long. So stop praying for revival. Start taking responsibility. Koramashaka. You're a bit upset about that sometimes. You naughty people. Hallelujah. See, Moses had brought the people the word of the Lord. This is the key. Is, have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God. I said it before. You don't have to have natural courage. You don't have to be naturally brave. Your courage does not come from you looking at yourself and thinking, "Whoa, look at me, super dude," you know. Because the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. You can be your knees can be knocking together. You can be shaking in your boots, but you need to get up and be bold and be strong and be very courageous for one reason and one reason only, because the Lord your God is with you. And He has already revealed Himself to be everything that you will ever need Him to be in whatever situation you may find yourself in. At any time in history, He says, "I am the Lord your God." I'm your righteousness. I'm your health and your strength. I'm your provider. I'm the Lord who is there. I'm your peace. I'm your shepherd. I'm everything that you'll ever need me to be, whenever you need me to be it. So therefore you can be very bold and strong and courageous. Not for any other reason. Not because you fasted for 40 days. Not because you stayed up all night last night praying. No, but because the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. See, Moses had brought the word of the Lord. He brought all of the promises of the Lord. But you need to understand, the word of the Lord and the promises of the Lord on their own are not sufficient. Because the people must obey the word of the Lord. The people must believe the promises of the Lord. And if one generation, as we said before, failed to obey and to access all that God has promised, He doesn't change His mind. He doesn't change His word to accommodate their unbelief. We see that with parents, don't you? Say, stop that, stop doing that, or I'll do this, I'll do that the next thing, but it never happens. No wonder their children are raised up in unbelief. Because the authority figures in their lives never do what they said they would do. Then you tell them, "God says this," and they go, "Well, God's your daddy, God's your father, and He says that, He'll do it." They say, "What, like you?" It's a hard lesson, but always follow through. I'm not saying you should be issuing threats to your children anyway, but if you do, you better follow through on it. You might discover there's a bit of pain in that offering. And it's only when you become a parent you realize that it does hurt you more than it hurts them. I know they don't believe that, just like you didn't believe it. But, but if we would just train them up to know that you will do what you say you will do, that you will fulfill your promises in their lives, then maybe they wouldn't have to be that level of physical discipline. Because it'd be such a relationship of trust, of expectancy. Come on. Better wait till your father gets home. No wonder the child's afraid of the father. Come on. Where'd that rubbish come from? Where'd that come from? It's in the church as well, because what's in the world, it's in the church if you don't have your guard up. "Well, Jesus I can handle, but I'm not sure about this God being my father business if He shows up, you know. Wait till He gets home." Come on. God just keeps speaking the same word, the same promises to the next generation. Just waiting for that generation that will arise and say, "We believe. We believe." In verse 6 it says, what does it say? "Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them." So it's clear that even though the Lord swore to give the previous generation the land, they never took it. No, I've been looking at this over the last while. Come on. It's not just what you've been given. It's what you take. The transaction is never complete. I might give them I'm reaching out my hand, giving something to you, but unless he reaches out and takes it, it's still, I've still got it. He hasn't got it. I've still got it. I've given you the land, so you must take the land. Who knows, there's so much that the Lord has sworn to give us, but it's the same. We must take it. Like I said, healing always comes. Will you take the healing? Will you draw it into your life? Will you begin to now proclaim a different message? I'm healed now. I'm healed. God tells us His presence is with us continually. What more do we need? I'll tell you what more we need. If His will is, see, God's there, but if His will is going to be accomplished, we must believe, and we must contend, and we must take hold of the Word, and we must take what the Word promises and draw it into our lives. We must advance into that place. We must accept personal responsibility. The one thing the church doesn't like, so it creates doctrines that says you're not responsible. Whatever happens is the will of God. Come on. That's all over this nation. It's through the, if you, it's part of the fibre of your being if you grew up in Scotland. And anywhere in Europe, to be honest, where Calvinism has had an influence, then that's part of the fabric of your being. Whatever will be, will be. What's it got to do with me? It's that whatever happens is God's will. And you're always waiting for something bad to happen. Because wait till your father gets home. Come on. What does he say? He says, be strong, be of good courage. Do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed. Because the Lord, your God, the Lord who's promised to be everything you'll ever need Him to be, is with you wherever you go. But you have to go. There's that little go word. He's with you wherever you go. He was with them in the wilderness, taking care of them. But they died in the wilderness, failed to accomplish His perfect will. And if they had gone into the promised land, He'd have been with them there, and He'd already promised, I will drive out your enemies before you. Big deal. There's giants in the land. So what? I'll be there, and I'll be going before you, making sure the giants will never be a problem to you. But you must go. You must go. You know how difficult it's going to be for some of you to start telling your friends that you expect to lift 120? Some of them are going to, man, if they haven't written you off already, they're going to write you off then. You know that? That's why He said you must be willing to get out of your country, from your family and your father's house, to a land that I will show you. Some people will say, I'm never talking to you again. Will say, well, I'm going to keep talking to you. Come on. You've got to be willing to be different. Amen. You go to these Bible studies and you're afraid to open your mouth and tell them what the Bible really says. Because they might say, don't come back next week. Amen. Say, don't worry, I ain't going back anywhere. I'm going forward. Amen. And you're welcome to follow me. You can go forward with me, but I ain't going back to where you are. I ain't going to die in the wilderness you're dying in. Because I've got a word that tells me that I can go into the promised land. Hallelujah. Be strong. It's not easy. But He says, I'll give you the strength. Your strength is in the knowledge that I'm with you. That I'm backing you. That I'm saying amen. That I'm dancing in heaven over you. Hallelujah. Come on. There's only one thing that pleases God. That's faith. And I tell you, every time He sees it, it pleases Him and He responds. His pleasure has a manifestation, it says in Zephaniah. He rejoices over us with singing and dancing. Hallelujah. He says, that's one of my kids down there, finally getting it. Finally going for it. Finally moving forward. Maybe inch by inch, but they're moving. They got something and they're beginning to proclaim it. I know they've got it because they're beginning to say it. And they're moving their life forward in accordance with that word. Here a little, there a little. Line upon line. Precept upon precept. Just moving forward. Taken back the land. I mean, come on. You understand what the church doesn't occupy, the world will occupy. The world is, the church is buying the world stuff. They're going out buying all the books they can find about how to live a little bit longer, how to have a healthy lifestyle. That's the church's. That belongs to the church. That's our message. But you know what they expect? If it doesn't work, well, at least the church will give me a good funeral. All they expect from the church is a funeral. Some people never contact the church until someone in their family dies, and they phone up and expect some poor guy to come along and do a funeral service for them. And because we love people, we're willing to do that. Because we've got some mercy left. But what would happen the first time the preacher said, sorry, we don't do funerals for them? They'd be under 120. Come on. I like that, Lord. I just, come on, yeah. Let's try to add the paper. We do funerals for anybody over 120. Free funerals if you're over 100. It's like you used to see in the pub, you know. No credit unless you're present, unless you have both your great grandparents with you and you're over 90 years old, you know. Hallelujah. Be strong. Why? Because He is with us. Who knows, without His presence with us, there's a lot to be afraid of out there. There's a lot to be discouraged about. But we cannot be discouraged and we cannot be afraid. Why? Because He is with us continually. Continually. We've looked at this many times over the years, but remember that it's right there, that the principle is right there in these words that the Lord spoke to Joshua. That the four basic steps, remember, the personal transformation, which are information, meditation, revelation, transformation. So if we're going to succeed, we've got to understand these steps. In fact, we've added a few steps in, along the way in between these, but these are the four main steps you need to remember. Let's try it. Come on. Information, meditation, revelation, transformation. Verse 10, it says, Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the camp and command the people, saying, prepare provisions for yourselves, for within 3 days you will cross over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess. He's giving it to you. What's your responsibility? Just to simply possess it, to take it. He said, prepare provisions for yourselves. Be ready to cross over and to possess the land. Sometimes you just need to live ready. You need to always live ready to experience and to obey and to step into what God is saying. Right, here it is now. Take it now. Take it now. Take it. Remember that song we sang, the glory is here. You know, the glory is here. I can sense His mighty presence in the very atmosphere. Where does He go after that again? So whatever you may need, just reach out and receive and say, it's mine. Oh, yes, it's mine. I take it. Now, you're not being bad-mannered. You're just taking what He's offering you. Hallelujah. Oh, God's not this and God's not that. They always, come on, the gainsayers, the unbelievers, they always, God's not this and God's not that and God's not a fruit machine or whatever they call it. And blah, 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 blah. I know He's not. He's much, come on, but He's saying, I'm giving you this. Now, take it. It's bad manners not to take it. It's false humility not to take it. Humility is when you take what God is offering you. I remember when I was a little kid and I don't know how I got this out of my head, but I thought, because you know, at that time, and nowadays people probably don't do it because they'd probably be accused of being weird or something, but if you were an older person, you would give money to little children, you know. So you'd get blessed with, you'd go to visit somebody and they'd just give you money when you were leaving, you know. Amen. You always knew the best houses to go to, didn't you? But I got it out of my head that maybe I should try and refuse it. And I remember I offended two people. I remember I was only a small town, maybe 6 or 7 years old, but I can still remember the offense I saw in their faces when I refused the money. I said, oh, no, it's okay. No, thank you. You just keep it. I want to tell you, God's offended when we do not take that which He is freely offering to us. Because not only did I not have the half crown, the 2 and 6, remember them wonderful things, them big silver beauties, man, to buy sweeties for myself, but my brother didn't get any sweeties either because I wouldn't take it. Think about it. How many of our brothers and sisters are denied, and that's what the word, that's what we began with this morning. How many of the tribes, how many people out there are denied everything that God has on because we wouldn't take it and share it with them. And share it with them. Remember the gospel of the kingdom. Go and preach this gospel of the kingdom and heal the sick and cleanse the lepers and raise the dead and cast out the demons, and freely you have received, freely you have taken, now freely give. If you haven't taken it, you've got nothing to give. Nothing to give. No fresh testimony to the Lord's goodness, to the awesomeness of having His presence with you and what that means every day of your life. Prepare provisions for yourselves. Be ready to cross over and possess the land that the Lord has given you to possess. No, how many times I've heard people say crazy stuff like this? You know, well, if the Lord wants me baptized in the Spirit, if He wants me to speak in tongues, He'll give it to me. You ever heard that? You ever said that? If the Lord wants me to be healed, He'll heal me. The Lord's already given these things to every one of us. But we must take them. The Lord's given us everything, but we must possess it. Things aren't just going to fall into our laps if we fail to step out in faith and obedience and appropriate everything that's already been given to us. Remember, Jesus told 500 people to wait in Jerusalem for the Holy Spirit, but only 120 of them were in the right place at the right time. So we have to position ourselves according to the Word. We need to align ourselves with the throne. That's how you align yourself with the throne of God, is by taking His Word and stepping into His Word, and that always brings you into alignment with His throne. That always sets you up for the kingdom to invade the earth. If we're going to receive the fullness of our inheritance, we must stay in that place of alignment. Over the last few years, we've been talking, praying that prayer of alignment. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let Your word be accomplished and fulfilled in my life right here, right now, as You've already provided for it in heaven. Let it come right now into the earth. Then it says something really unspiritual. Give us. You impertinent little thing, you. What do you mean, give us? Jesus said, pray this way. Give us. Today. Not tomorrow. Not in 20 years. Not when I die and get to heaven. No, give us today our daily bread. How can we say that? Because He's already made it perfectly clear that that's what He longs to be for us, the provider of our daily bread. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 11 verse 12, it's recorded, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence and the violent take it by force. Verse 12 in Joshua chapter 1, it says, and to the Reubenites, we need to push this on, my time is flying. And to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and half the tribe of Manasseh, Joshua spoke, saying, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God is giving you rest and is giving you this land. I'll tell you, if there's one thing we need to get out of this today, remember the word. Remember the word. It doesn't matter what all the other voices are saying. You need to remember the word. That's all. Because it's the word that the Lord your God is giving you rest. Remember, there's a place that we need to enter in, and that's the rest of faith. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, and the wrestling is in the resting. So that's simple enough for you. Come on, too many people have, you know, spiritual warfare. Rah, you know, rah, if I can shout louder, if I can sling more snort, then maybe the devil will move. No, he moves when he realizes that you say, just like Jesus said, it is written. I remember what the word says. Oh, but if, no ifs about it, old devil, split foot, get the hell out of here, because I remember what the word says. I remember what the word says. It is written. That's all you need to do, just remember the word. Remember the word. The Lord your God is giving you rest and is giving you this land. Don't matter how big a giant is. Don't matter how ugly it is. Doesn't matter how much sulfur's in his breath. Doesn't matter how many threatenings he's and accusations he's bringing against you. Doesn't matter. I'm in the rest. I remember the word. I remember the Lord. My God is with me. I remember what He said. Hallelujah. That's the basis of covenant. Just remembering the word. Never losing sight of what the Lord has previously said and done. We need to understand that the work isn't over until every one of God's people is established in that rest. Amen? Come on. It's not just for you and me to sit at home and say, oh, thank you, Jesus. I'm so glad I'm saved. I know my neighbors are going to hell, but I'm so glad I'm saved. I know there's brothers and sisters out there that don't know that you want to heal them and deliver them and set them free and bring all the good things into their lives that you've brought into mine, but I'm just so glad I'm saved. No, it's not over. The work isn't over until we've taken the land, until all of our brethren are inhabiting that land. Till every one of his people are living to 120. Hallelujah. We'll continue to contend for that word. Come on. Not existing. Not living out the end days in some old folks' home. Not knowing what day of the week it is. No, you keep them in perfect peace whose mind is fixed on you. No Alzheimer's. None of that other mess. Come on. No memory loss. No sitting wondering, oh God, get me out of here. I've been here for 30 years now, never done anything. I'm just sitting here in this rocking chair. No. They shall bear fruit in their old age. They'll never retire. They'll just keep on refiring. Yes. Hallelujah. And they'll live out their days in the fullness of strength. Just like Moses, 120, and he wasn't limping or his eyes hadn't got dim. And you hit 50 and you get all these letters from people. Everybody went right at 50 now. I hit 50 last year, and all of a sudden the letters start coming through the letterbox. Well, you're 50 now. Once you get like this, where do they pluck these numbers from? Oh yeah, oh you're over 50. Well, once you're over 50, this will start happening, and that'll start. How does it just immediately start happening at 50? Come on. Who are you going to listen to? Are you going to remember the word? I'm glad they're increasing the retirement age. Give some more people a purpose for living. We need to take back the unemployment, and we need to bring back the jobs. That's what we need to do. Glory to God. Come on. Hallelujah. How many people do you know that retired and died within 6 months? Because they felt they had no purpose anymore. No reason for being alive. Goramashaka. Verse 14, your wives, your little ones and your livestock shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side of the Jordan, but you shall pass before your brethren, Aaron, all your mighty men of valor, and help them until the Lord has given your brethren rest as he gave you. And they also have taken possession of the land which the Lord your God has given them. Then you shall return to the land of your possession and enjoy it. Jesus said, I have come that they might have and enjoy life in all of its fullness till they fill up and begin to overflow that life. Hallelujah. That you may have and enjoy. Enjoy life. Come on, we're here to enjoy 120 years. Oh, well, you people, see, you just want to keep living in this life. You don't want to go to heaven. Oh, no, heaven's supposed to come here. People have been dying in their wilderness and going to heaven, but that's not the perfect will of God. His perfect will is for heaven to come to earth, and there will be new heavens and a new earth. Hallelujah. Come on. His will for the earth is never going to pass away. Come on, there may have to be a new one, but there'll still be an earth. Because we worship at his footstool, and the earth is his footstool, and the heavens are his throne. In the sweet by and by. You can go on singing that if you like. See, the reason that you want to die and go to heaven is because you're still in the wilderness. Because death is the anthem of the wilderness. Did he bring us out here to die? Have a look at your shoes, folks. Come on, pick up that manna, have another taste. Come on. Did he bring you out here to die? Of course he didn't. He brought you out because this is the only way to get to the promised land. You're only passing through this because it's the only way to get to the promised land. That's not heaven. The promised land doesn't represent heaven. We've been singing these songs in the church for years. You know, I won't have to cross Jordan alone because, you know, glory to God, he'll send his angels and they'll carry me over into heaven. You don't cross the Jordan to get to heaven. There's no giants in heaven. God's pretty big, but he's the only one. Come on. You cross the Jordan to get into the promised land, to begin to live in the fullness of everything that he's made available. Hallelujah. God's saying that we cannot fully enjoy our inheritance until all of our brethren are established in that inheritance. Because it's not just about me. It's not just about us. Verse 16, so they answered Joshua, saying, all that you command us we will do, and wherever you send us we will go. Just as we heeded Moses in all things, so we will heed you. Only the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your command and does not heed your words and all that you command him shall be put to death. Only be strong and of good courage. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Who knows, the Bible says the just shall live by faith. And so it goes without saying that even the just shall die if they rebel against the command of King Jesus and do not heed his word. So you've been justified by faith. You were saved, but you can still die in the wilderness. You've been brought out of Egypt, but you can still die in the wilderness if you don't continue to live by faith. What's living by faith? Faith comes by hearing what God says. You live by remembering the word. Remembering the word. This do in remembrance of me, Jesus said. Remember me. I'm the word. Remember the word. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not what happens when you don't forget. You remember. Forget not what? All his benefits. Who does what? Who forgives all your iniquities. Who heals all your diseases. Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. Who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed. Your what is renewed? Your youth is renewed so that even at 120 you don't look any older than 3 or 4. Some of you ladies need to hear this. Come on. You're spending all that money on cosmetics trying to reverse the aging process, and all you have to do is remember the word. Come on, next time you're digging around in that big box full of potions and lotions, just remember the word. Thank you, Lord, that you're with me right now to renew my youth and watch the wrinkles disappear faster than oil of ugly or any of that stuff. Come on. Hallelujah. Save you up all the rest of the money you save in the offering. Hallelujah. It's time to bring it back. Redeem all that stuff. That woman, man, look at the time. Verse 5, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and be very courageous that you may observe to do. And we know what he goes on to say. So we stated earlier, we need to do this really fast, and we start talking really quickly now. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You're going to have to get this CD and somehow manage to slow this down or something. I don't know. But we spoke earlier how important it is to walk through these stages, these steps to personal transformation. I want to give you them quickly. If you want to write them down, then just take them home and let the Lord fill in the gaps, okay? I'm just going to speak a little bit on each one. Because it's time for us to walk through these steps, because it's time for our communities, it's time for our nation to be changed, to be transformed. Amen. It's time for the kingdom to invade the earth. Come on, the kingdom of heaven in 2011. Step number one, information. Remember the Lord said, he said, take these words, meditate upon them, so on. But anyway, information. It's time for us to take responsibility for reaching those who have no knowledge or understanding of the fullness or the extent of their inheritance. Imagine holding that back from someone. The fact that they've been left £1 million in someone's will and you have that information and you refuse to share it with them. Would you not feel a little bit guilty about that? Well, there's way more than that in the will. They've been left a lot more than that in the will of God. And it's a shameful thing for us not to share that with them. To share with them the fullness of the inheritance that belongs to them. It's time for us to get back into the Gospels. Begin to absorb all of the information that applies to our reaching out beyond our own lives and impacting the lives of other people. Jesus gave us a new commandment, which is what? To love one another. To love our neighbours. I've heard people say, well, you've got to learn to love yourself first. That's baloney. Most of us love ourselves far too much, to be perfectly frank. When Jesus said, love your neighbours as you love yourselves, he was saying, take some of that love that you have for yourself and give it away. Come on. Learn to love yourself first. Oh, you're true. Oh. Love yourself, indeed. So last week, what's our biggest enemy? Ain't the devil, it's ourself. Self, I guess, in a way. So take some of that love that you have for yourself and start to give it away. Start treating others the way that you would like them to treat you. Come on. Step two. Step one, information. I'm just sharing information with you this morning. You understand that, don't you? I'm bringing it from the revelation that I've received, but for I'm bringing it to you as information. And it'll be up to you whether it ever becomes your revelation or not. I'm not saying that some of you don't have that same revelation already, but this process, it's important to understand this process. I'm sharing information, and it must become your meditation. God said to Joshua, he said, the same information that Moses brought you, you need to meditate on that. See, just receiving information in and of itself is not enough. It must be retained and chewed over if it's going to produce. In fact, in Hebrew thought, to meditate upon the scriptures means to quietly repeat them in a soft, droning sound, while utterly abandoning outside distractions and focusing on communion with God. Hallelujah, how's that for you? Remember what the word says. There are 100,000 other voices coming at you. You just tune them out. Tune them out and just get back and remember what the word says. Come on. That you're sitting across that doctor's desk and he's showing you the x-rays or he's bringing the results and he's saying, I've got bad news for you. Are you going to hear the bad news or are you going to zone him out and remember what the word says? Are you going to receive his diagnosis and his prognosis or are you going to receive the diagnosis and the prognosis of this word? Are you going to remember what the word says? Friend, there's Randy Townsend. Remember, he said he went to the doctor one time, he had a pain down his eye. The doctor did some tests. He said, I've got bad news for you. You've got 6 months. He said, well, that may be what you say, but that's not what the word says, so thank you very much. He said, something that can't kill you in 15 years isn't worth worrying about. Come on. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Meditation. Step 3, revelation. See, the fruit of meditation will always be revelation. Revelation is the difference between head knowledge and knowing that you know, that you know, that you know, that you know, that you know. That doesn't just happen overnight. That happens when you meditate on the word. That's what it produces. Supernaturally produces within you an understanding, a knowledge that you cannot be moved from. It is written. It is written. I remember the word. I remember what the word says. Glory to God. Who knows that too much of the word has been assigned into the mystery bin? Oh, well, that's a mystery. Why did this happen? Oh, that's a mystery. You know what they say? You'll have to wait till you get to heaven to understand that. Why don't we bring heaven into the earth and that will give us understanding?
That's right. You know the author.
In 1 Corinthians chapter 2 it says, but as it is written, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Most people stop there. But God has revealed them to us. Through his spirit. You see, a lot of the times the people say, don't tell us anymore. We don't want to hear that. Don't we hear that advice? Because once we hear it, we're responsible for it. Don't tell me about healing again, because once you tell me that God wants to heal me, I'll be responsible for having to do something with that. Even if it's just accusing you of it not happening all the time. I feel I have to do something with it. Come on, but God has revealed them to us through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the Spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now, we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. The reason it's not reaching the world is because we haven't taken what's been freely given. Given, because we haven't remembered the word, meditated on the word, received revelation from the word that is way beyond religion. Come on. That's not just a rehash of what Charles Haddon Spurgeon said in his day and generation. Come on. He said Calvinism and Christianity are one and the same thing. Well, he didn't have a revelation yet. I'm not having a go at him. He was an awesome man of God for his time, and many, many people came into the kingdom through his ministry. But you can't stop there. If you're still reading his daily readings, you probably need to move on. Morning and evening. Oh, Lord. Anyway, hallelujah. I better duck behind you. You just touched the Holy Grail, man. You know? There's one sacred guy just got toppled. Hallelujah. Well, it's struggling anyway. Step 4, number 1, information. Come on, information. Step 2, meditation. Step 3, revelation. Step 4, motivation. Now we're going to put a couple extras in here. Motivation is defined as the reason or the reasons one has for acting or behaving in a particular way. You see, revelation makes us accountable. When we know what we should do and don't do it, the Bible says that is sin. Sin is not just doing what we shouldn't do, it's also not doing what we should do. Sins of omission and commission. Commission and omission. We focus a lot on the sins of commission. But God also recognizes our sins of omission. Knowing what to do and not doing it is sin. Whatever is not of faith is sin, the Word of God says. You faith people. Faith this, faith that, faith the other. Come on. Exactly. You live by faith. You reject faith, you'll die. Oh, sooner the better, guy. Sooner the better. Oh, man. What has been freely given? Healing, cleansing, resurrection, life, freedom. Freely received, freely given. So, but there needs to be a motivation. It says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7, the first part says, by faith Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear. Godly fear is synonymous with faith. Godly fear is you're afraid you'll miss out on what God has promised if you don't do it. Do I know what the fear of God is? Well, the fear of God is if I don't do what God says, I'll miss out on what God promised. Not this cringing thing. Not this wait till your father gets home business. I haven't got time to throw something else on here. Time is just way past. Anyway, okay. It says in Matthew chapter 9 and also in Mark chapter 1, just a couple of scriptures together, but when Jesus saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. There was a motivation, and this motivation was compassion because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. He had the revelation of God's goodness, of God's faithfulness, of God's willingness to bring healing, to bring restoration to people, to restore them to his perfect plan. And so he was motivated and moved by the compassion that he felt when he saw people living below that plan. And he'd come to preach the gospel of the kingdom and to allow them to experience the kingdom invading the earth. So motivation. Number 5 is application. It's the action of putting something into operation. See, we need to contend, we need to move, we need to apply. Motivation always results in application. According to Galatians chapter 5, it says that your faith, in the Amplified Bible, it says our faith is activated and energized and put to work by love. Faith that does not have corresponding action, according to James, is dead faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. The second part of that verse says, Noah prepared an ark. What for? For the saving of his household. He remembered the word, and that word was his motivation. For 120 years, he built that ark for one purpose, for the saving of his household. Never deviated from that plan. Just look, remember the plans he downloaded into his spirit and followed them to the letter. Hallelujah. Step number 6, nearly there. Manifestation. See, when we step out in faith, when we're motivated by loving obedience and compassion, there's always a supernatural manifestation of the presence and the power of God. Always. John 14, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do. Why? Because I go to my Father. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. When you allow that the love of God on the inside of you to be the motivation that brings forth that compassion that takes hold of that revelation that God has released to you, that wait a minute, I can lay hands on the sick and they will recover. You'll never resist that moving of the Spirit within you again to reach out and to lay hands on someone that God is telling you he wants to release his healing in at that moment. Come on, it doesn't matter where it is or what. Come on, it doesn't matter if it's in the supermarket aisle or whether it's even, come on. Anybody paid for people in the supermarket? Yeah, come on, we're getting there slowly. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Number 7. Step number 7. Come on, let's see them again. One. Information. Come on, meditation. Revelation. Motivation. Application. Manifestation. Demonstration. Number 7. See, where Jesus is, salvation is, healing is, deliverance is, it's power. You see, that's been missing for too long, isn't it? In the church's testimony experience. We've been powerless. We've been just letting everything that came just roll over us. Mark chapter 16, verse 20, it says, and they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Who's doing the work and who's doing the confirming? The Lord is. What are they doing? They're just preaching. They're just declaring. They're just proclaiming. They're just contending for that word. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 4 to 5, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Hallelujah. Remember, it's the word of His power. It's not the power of His word, it's the word of His power. When you understand that, you understand that all the power is in the word. You're not wondering, oh Lord, oh, if I say this and nothing happens. You're not thinking that way anymore. It's the word of His power. All that has to do is that person has to take that word and power will be released. Step 8. Glory to God, you'll be glad to hear this. Transformation. Finally there. When we align ourselves with the throne of God, the kingdom of heaven can invade the earth. Simple as that. When Joshua and the people stepped out in faith and obedience and followed the Lord and followed His strategy, immediately they began to experience supernatural victory. And they discovered that the inhabitants of the land were already in fear of them because of what they had heard the Lord had done for them. You know, the demons are already trembling out there. Wondering, when is this church going to rise up and be everything that God's called it to be and commissioned it to be? Come on, when Jesus showed up, they didn't come out and say, get out of here, Jesus! No, they could have said, oh, have mercy on us! When's the last time a demon asked you to have mercy on? It's a horrible thing. I've experienced that. It's a terrible thing. Something, oh, yeah, your soul just gets all caught up in it. You're thinking, oh, you start to feel sympathy because this devil said to me one time, he said, it's all right for you. You can be saved. And that brought, oh man, it was just like weird, it was horrible. It's like, oh, no. Because the word of God says, it says He sent aid to men, but He never sent aid to the angels who fell. And so there's no word for them apart from eternal punishment, eternal separation. But there's a word for us. There's a word for us. A word for us. That's why I knew it wasn't the man that was speaking, it was a demon that was speaking. Hallelujah. Let's stand up together. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove. How do you renew your mind? You take the information, you meditate upon it until it breaks forth as revelation in your life. And that will always result in transformation in your personal life. Well, there needs to be something beyond our personal lives, that we're not just contending for our own personal lives, we're also contending for the lives of others. And that's when that revelation becomes our motivation to apply that word and bring forth the manifestation of heaven and the earth. It demonstrates God's power and God's glory and turns the earth back into His footstool again. Place where worship begins to go up and praise begins to go up to the one who is declaring and displaying His majesty. Hallelujah. But if we think that the Lord will do everything while we sit and wait, and that's why I ask you to stand up, then we're thinking the wrong way. The truth is He's already done everything and given everything. He's done everything He's going to do, and He's given everything that He's going to give. And now He's placing the responsibility upon us to take what He's given and to go and possess the land, to be agents of transformation in this place. Transformed agents of transformation. Those who have already experienced transformation now going out as agents of transformation. Hallelujah. It's time for our communities to be transformed. Who's going to rise this morning and take the challenge? Come on, let's hear it again. To take this land, the kingdom of heaven in 2011. You understand there's a whole lot more could be said, and somebody said you've said enough already. Hallelujah. A whole lot more than you should have. Well, that's okay. Hallelujah. So let's just take a moment here right now. Are you taking this word this morning? I mean, much information has been given. Are you going to take it today? Are you going to receive it into your heart where the heart man believes unto righteousness? And then the declaration comes from that belief that is growing in his heart, that what God said is what God will do. What God has promised is what God will perform. Hallelujah. With the heart man believes unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation, unto healing, unto deliverance, unto prosperity, to freedom, unto liberty. We were singing it, where the presence of the Lord is, there is freedom. The presence of the Lord is, there is healing. So let it rain. We're singing it. Come on, let it rain. Let heaven's rain come in the earth. Not just the R-A-I-N, but the R-E-I-G-N. Maybe we need more of the R-E-I-G-N than of the R-A-I-N. Because when we get the R-E-I-G-N, we will get the R-A-I-N. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let heaven come right now, Lord, in this place. Lord, you said wherever we put the sole of our feet, it becomes a place that has been possessed by us for you, for your kingdom to come. Lord, let your kingdom come in this place right now. Let heaven invade this room right now, Father God. If there's a need in this room today, Lord, I pray that heaven would manifest, that and that need would be met in all of its fullness. I just encourage you right now, if there's a need in your life, reach out and take what has been offered to you. Take the salvation, take the healing, take the deliverance, take the freedom, take the financial solution to your problem. Take the favor of God that will provide you tomorrow with a job, that will provide you with the finances, that will never limit you, but will just be a stepping stone into the fullness of giving that which God has given to you, of freely giving and becoming an agent of transformation. If you have a need today, please do not leave without a testimony. Go transfer your need into a testimony today. It's time for the kingdom of God. It's time for the earth to become His footstool. The footstool where worship goes up and thanksgiving goes up and praise goes up. And doesn't just stay within the confines of the four walls of a church meeting place, but overflows these walls. I said it to someone the other day, we don't need a church without walls. We need a church that's out with the walls. The church has to have walls, but the church must also step outside of the walls. The church doesn't have walls, it's got big problems. That's been one of the problems, that we knocked down the walls of the church and every awful thing got in. It's time for the church to step out with the walls. Go to Masakai and then come back in. Hallelujah. Behind the walls. And then back out. Out with the walls. And then come back in. Behind the walls. Then go back out. Out with the walls. And then come back in. Behind the walls. And so on and so on. Jesus said you'll go in and out. Don't stay out too long. Jesus never stayed out too long. He always went back to his Father. Found his Father's presence again and recharged his batteries before he ever went back down the mountain again. Before he ever went back into the places where people had need. He knew he had to come in and go out. 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 You die in the wilderness if you don't come back in. If you don't enter in. The church, God designed the church as your place of safety, your place of provision, your place of protection, your place of equipping, your place of empowering. If you reject that truth, you reject everything, you will die in a wilderness. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Take that word and take it to your heart. Take it, meditate on it. Let the revelation that's contained within it break loose in your life. Every person that you bring to salvation must know that they've just been added to the church. Otherwise, they will die in a wilderness. There's been one thing the enemy has attacked continually, particularly in the last generation, and in our generation, it's the church. It's the church that's been under attack. Why? Because he knows. He knows that if he can remove people from the church, he has them. He's got them in that place of weakness. He's got them in that place where he can surround them, where he can build a camp around them and annihilate them. And all they've got left is a wee whimper that says, oh Lord, please take me to heaven. Thank God there's still an entrance for them into heaven. But they missed their purpose. They missed His will. They missed His good and acceptable and perfect will for their lives. To be agents of transformation, to live out the fullness of their days as people who bring this gospel of the kingdom who go to the lost and confused people right here in the neighborhood, who heal the sick, who touch the untouchables, who raise the dead and who kick out the demons, who know that they've been treated generously and so they live generously. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, I just pray you move in the midst of your people right now. Deal with us as individuals, Lord, and cement us together as a body. But Lord, speak that word that each individual heart needs to hear right now, and help that person to just take it, to take it, to take it, Lord, and begin to step out in it and to walk it and to contend for it. Lord, Harabo Shoko, thank you, Lord, that our families will be saved. Lord, those of us here today, Lord, who have families who are not saved, they will be saved. Because we'll contend for that word. That it's your will, it's your heart for them to be saved, to know you in all of your fullness. We contend for that word, Lord. Our co-workers, Lord, those whom we work with, our fellow students, Lord. Lord, we contend for the word that you want them saved, healed, and delivered. They will be saved. They will be healed. They will be delivered. Because we will contend for that word. Because we will go and we will preach that word. Because we will go and we will bring the message of the kingdom to them. That the kingdom is here. The kingdom is here. Our islands will be saved. Our nation will be saved. The nations of the world will be saved. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. What begins in a tiny little seed form, Lord, will invade the earth. Hallelujah. Kina mara sotori yendo la mashire bababa soko. Kira bara baradu sotori da la baba shaka. We take responsibility, Father. We take responsibility. Ura mashikara fisa tolo bundore destos. To see ura moshika bundore destos. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. 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 Jesus, 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 Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's hear it again. Come on. The kingdom of heaven in 2011. One more time. The kingdom of heaven in 2011. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah.